Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us using your favorite podcast software. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. You can support the show on a one-time basis using the Zelle app to box13@greatdetectives.net. Thank you to Vivian for supporting the podcast that way. And you can also become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. And I want to welcome our latest Patreon supporter, Carissa, at the Seamus level of $4 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support. Well, now it's time for this week's episode of Dangerous Assignment. The original air date on this one is April the 1st of 1953, and the title is Rescue Rick Perez.
Dangerous Assignment. Transcribed starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
Yeah, danger is my assignment. I get sent to a lot of places I can't even pronounce. They all spell the same thing, though, trouble, but when I walk into the commissioner's office, I don't realize this assignment's going to prove that sometimes the best way to get a pal out of a trap is to get chased into it yourself. Morning, Commissioner. You sent for me?
Steve, one of our agents is in trouble. Rick Perez.
Oh, what happened to him?
Because of his Spanish ancestry and his knowledge of Latin America, he seemed the logical choice, the man to investigate those reports we've been getting on the Caribbean Legion.
Caribbean Legion? Oh, yeah, I've heard about it. They're training and arming men to lead revolts in the countries of Central and South America.
Yes. Rick managed to work his way into the organization, has kept in touch with us through a contact he established in Caracas, Venezuela. He kept in touch, that is, until a week ago, then silence.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean he's in a jam, Commissioner.
Last night, Perez's contact, a man named Emilio Rojas, received a message supposedly from Perez saying that he was hiding out in a village called Puerto Montego, that he needed help.
So the Legion got wise and Perez is holed up, huh?
All being held a prisoner.
Prisoner? You mean the message could be a trap?
Right. Suppose they only suspect Perez is an American agent.
Yeah, so we answer his call for help, send someone down to Puerto Montego, and the minute that someone walks into town, they know for sure. End of Rick Perez.
Exactly. You've got to get into Puerto Montego without arousing any suspicion to who you are or why you're there. Find Rick Perez and get him safely away. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
The National Broadcasting Company is presenting Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy in the role of Steve Mitchell, colorful two-fisted government agent. At all those places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another Dangerous Assignment. Magnificent musical entertainment is yours for the listening every Monday evening on the NBC Radio Network. Listen on most NBC stations to these great programs. The Railroad Hour with singing star Gordon McRae and charming guest artists from Musicdom's Hall of Fame. The Voice of Firestone featuring Howard Barlow and the Firestone Orchestra and Chorus in the melodies you enjoy hearing. The Telephone Hour with the music of Donald Voorhees and the Bell Symphonic Orchestra. And the Dinah Shore Show, NBC's new Monday night program special starring America's favorite songbird, Miss Dinah Shore. Yes, every Monday night, listen to the best musical entertainment on this NBC station.
Sure, I've got my assignment. Fly down to Venezuela and get to one of our agents, Rick Perez, who's in a jam. and, we hope, on the trail of a subversive outfit known as the Caribbean Legion. It's late Friday afternoon when my plane lands in Caracas, and I head straight for a rendezvous with our contact there, a gent named Emilio Rojas. A dozen or more tourists armed with travel folders, guidebooks, and cameras come strolling out of the cathedral. As I hurry up the steps, I move through a huge arched entryway and then inside.
Señor.
Oh, hello. Looks like I'm a little late for the guided tour, huh?
Yes, a pity. Still, there is always tomorrow.
No, unfortunately, I won't be in town. I have business in Puerto Montego.
A charming village. I know it well. You have friends there?
A business associate.
This way, Senor Mitchell. Into this corridor. We can talk there.
Sure you weren't followed, Rojas?
Positive.
I don't suppose you've had any word from Perez.
No word at all, Senor. Here, this will do. I leave the door open slightly so that we may watch the entryway.
You happen to have that note Perez sent you?
No, I burned the message immediately I received it. You are wondering about the handwriting, eh? I cannot say. Perez and I never exchanged the written messages.
Tell me, Rojas, do you have any idea why he went up to Puerto Montego?
Well, 10 days ago, after he had attended a meeting of the Caribbean Legion, he told me there was talk of supplies and a boatload of new men arriving from Guatemala.
And that ship might have put in at Puerto Montego, huh?
Yes, Perez might have been sent to meet it. Someone aboard might have recognized him or suspected he was with your government.
And now he's a prisoner or hiding out.
A prisoner, Senor? Not one for long, I'm afraid. They would kill him in a moment if there were the slightest reason to suspect him.
I don't know, Rojas. If they figured he was valuable to their organization, they might hesitate to do away with him. They'd want to know for certain. It would affect their future plans.
Yes, I see your point.
How far is Puerto Montego from here?
About 20 miles down the coast. Population under 200.
Not good. A stranger in town would stick out like a sore thumb. Perez spent most of his time here in Caracas, didn't he?
Yes, most of the time.
Where'd he hang out? Any place in particular?
A nightclub. A gambling house called the Maracaibo. It is run by a French woman, a Mademoiselle Simonette.
Sort of headquarters for the Legion, is it?
For the Legion and their various enterprises, Senor.
I see. Well, that's very interesting, Rojas. You know, it sort of fits in with a little idea I've had in the back of my mind. If I could pick up the right information and certain props to work with, yeah, it might work out just fine. Half hour later, I'm at police headquarters, sitting in the office of Colonel Villara. I give him a fast fill-in on what I'm up to and what I'll need, and he listens to what I have to say, and then leans back in his chair and takes a long pull on his cigar. He makes with a series of smoke rings toward the ceiling. Jim Dandy's all of them. Then he leans forward.
This is highly irregular, Senor Mitchell. You understand that. However, if you insist...
I'd like your department's cooperation, Colonel Villara.
Very well. I will see to it that you get what you ask.
And don't forget the souped-up jalopy.
Souped up
the car. I'm going to be in a race, and I don't want to lose.
Oh, yes, of course.
You look a little puzzled, Colonel.
I am, Senor. I still fail to see how all this is going to...
Look, the chances of my slipping into Puerto Montego unnoticed are pretty slim. The heavies see me snooping around, they add two and two, and they knock off Perez.
Yes, go on.
So instead of my sneaking into town, I'm going to try to arrange for them to chase me into Puerto Montego. But I've got to sell them a bill of goods first. One, that I'm not an American agent. And two, that my arrival in town has nothing to do with Perez.
Oh, I see, I see. And that, then, is the purpose of your visit to the Maracaibo Club.
Right. Now, I need an entree to the club, a name I can toss around.
Someone known to them, and preferably someone out of circulation, eh?
Rojas suggested a gent named Brovo.
Oh, excellent. A well-known criminal in the Caribbean area. Now serving 10 years in prison.
A frequent visitor at the club when he was in town, and when he wasn't in Caracas, he'd be in Cuba or Haiti, Puerto Rico, Jamaica, or Trinidad. I could have met him in any of those places.
I would suggest Trinidad. He spent a good deal of time there.
Do you happen to have a file on Brovo?
Oh, yes. A rather complete history of the man.
Good. I want to know all there is to know about friend Brovo. They're bound to ask questions at the club, and I want to be sure to have the right answers. An hour later, I check in at the hotel, and shortly after 8 that night, I wander over to the Maracaibo Club. I peel a few bills from a very fat bankroll, spread them around where they'll do the most good. Also drop Brovo's name a couple of times, and pretty soon I'm admitted to the plush gambling layout upstairs. My luck is all bad, and I drop a nice chunk of dough, and meanwhile, I keep my eyes open for the lady known as Mademoiselle Simonette. Finally, she puts in an appearance, high voltage in a black, low-cut evening gown. She tosses a quick glance around the room and then moves from one game to another. Finally, she winds up standing next to me at the roulette table. I step back to make room.
No, please, monsieur, do continue. I'm only a spectator.
I wish that's all I was.
Bad luck?
Never been worse.
Well, perhaps the dice table.
You recommend it?
Why not?
Okay, but I could use a drink first.
On the house, I insist.
Oh, thanks, mademoiselle.
You have been here before, monsieur.
Mitchell. No, this is my first time. An old friend recommended the place.
Brovo?
Yeah.
I heard you mention his name earlier at the bar. How is he?
Unhappy. The penal colony doesn't agree with him.
Oh. Unfortunate, wasn't it?
Yeah, had a nice little deal going on at the time, too.
His wife. How did she take it?
Filippa? Oh, not grieving very much. He left her a comfortable income. That fall out of Cuba last year netted him a nice chunk of dough.
I see. Does she still run the dress show?
Yeah, I dropped in to see her just before I left Trinidad.
Well, you must give her my warmest regards on your return.
I'm not going back.
Oh?
That is, if I can make other arrangements.
What sort of arrangements?
I'd like to get to the States if I could.
Why should that be difficult for you?
Oh, they're sort of fussy up there about passports and things like that.
You're not an American?
Canadian. Hey, bar seems to be a little crowded.
A table over here, Monsieur Mitchell. I will send you a waiter.
Thanks. Why not join me?
Why not?
I dropped the matter of the passport for the present because I don't want to rush things, and that seems to be all right with Mademoiselle because she finally steers the conversation around to Brovo again. She's playing it cautiously, checking on me, and I fill in with the right answers. Finally, I draw an invitation to continue our little chat in the privacy of her office. She excuses herself to greet some of her guests, and I wander on back alone to the inner sanctum. So far, everything's working out fine. Yeah, until I open the office door. There's a little gent comfortably settled in a chair. He bounces out of it, and the second he sees me, a gun suddenly appears in his mitt.
Well, 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 if it ain't Mr. Mitchell.
Hello, Deacon.
Fancy you starting in here.
Well, we all have our bad days.
Come on in, Mr. Mitchell, come on in. Well, 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 well. Ain't this cozy now? What brings you here, if I might ask?
I was about to conduct a little transaction, but you've sort of complicated things.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a real shame. That's what it is.
I thought the Australian police would have you under lock and key by this time.
Not me, Governor. Not Albert Deakin. You tried hard enough.
Well, we got the boys we were after and left a small fry like you to the local law.
A small fry no longer, Mr. Mitchell. Sit down. Make yourself comfortable and don't try any funny moves or this little pop gun goes off, see?
I get the picture, Deacon.
This little transaction you mentioned. It's with the mademoiselle, I imagine. Oh, good. We'll just wait here until she comes along. I dare say she'll be mighty interested to know she's entertaining a United States government agent.
Steve Mitchell will continue his dangerous assignment in just a moment. Today, more than ever before, the great scientific minds of our country are hard at work solving the mysteries of cancer. In over 100 research centers located in all parts of the country, there is being carried on the greatest research program against a single disease ever known to man. Someday soon, the scientists hope to have the answers. But to continue and expand the tremendous research program, money is needed. That money must come from you. Cancer is a major enemy of the American people, and last year alone, it claimed some 215,000 victims. And although more and more lives are being saved from this dread disease each year, the toll is still far too high. We can all strike back against cancer by joining the Cancer Crusade. Support the American Cancer Society and its three programs of research, education, and service to the cancer patient. Join the 1953 Cancer Crusade. Mail your generous contribution to Cancer, care of your local post office. Now, back to Dangerous Assignment. Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
Well, at this point, it looks like I'm cooked. Just when I'm starting to do okay with Mademoiselle Simonette, I wander into her office and find myself face to face with a seamy little character named Deacon, whom I'd tangled with several years ago in Australia. Needless to say, he recognizes me and pulls a gun. It's Simonette. She's coming in. Deacon moves to open the door with a big grin and takes his eyes off me a second. That's when I make my move. I grab his wrist and twist.
Hey, Mitchell!
Thanks for the gun. Okay, it's in my pocket and pointed at you. One peep and you're dead.
Oh, hello, Deacon.
Small world, Simonette. Imagine my running into an old buddy like this.
You and Deacon know each other, Steve?
Sure. We were together in Australia. We're old buddies, isn't that right, Deacon?
Yes, that's right.
Good. This is Marco, Steve. He works for me.
Marco?
Mitchell?
Those papers I wanted you to take, Marco, over there on my desk.
Yes.
Yes, those are the ones.
Very well. I will see you later.
Well, do I pass inspection, Simonette?
Inspection? What do you mean?
Marco, he's your muscle man, isn't he?
Yes, but I just wanted him to pick up some papers.
And give me a looking over.
You don't miss a trick, do you, Steve?
I can't afford to.
Well, I'd better be getting along.
No, no, Deacon, stick around. I've hardly had a chance to say hello. I wouldn't think of letting you shove off so soon.
Well, I...
What's the matter, Deacon? Is something on your mind?
No.
Steve, you mentioned earlier something about needing a passport.
Yeah. Look, I don't have time to beat around the bush, Simonette. I need it, and I need it bad. I've got the dough to pay for it, and I think the fact that I'm a friend of Brovo and also of Deacon here should entitle me to some consideration.
Perhaps. It would cost $1,000.
That's pretty steep, but okay. I'm in no position to bargain. A grand it is.
All right. We have a small cobbler shop not far from here where such matters are arranged. Marco can take you over there.
Oh, wait a minute. I've got a better idea. Does Deacon know where the place is?
Why, yes.
Why don't you take me, Deacon? We can talk over old times on the way. Okay, Simonette?
Of course. Go ahead.
I hustle Deacon out of there before he can tip my mitt. I make him take me to the cobbler shop. And in the back room, they take a picture and half an hour later hand me a passport. I peel off the dough and pay them. Then I take Deacon to the house of my contact, Rojas, who salts him away in his
quite safe down there, Senor Mitchell.
Good, Rojas. I could have Colonel Valera put him under arrest, but one of Simonette's boys might possibly find out about it.
Yes, that would not be too good. Senor Mitchell, I still do not understand what your plan is.
Right now, my plan is to go to my hotel room and wait.
For what?
For Marco, and maybe another Simonette's boys to show up. I figure they should be there within 2 hours.
But what makes you so sure they will come to your room?
That money Colonel Valera furnished me. The dough I used to pay for my phony passport.
What about it?
It's counterfeit.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know, I think those boys are going to be real mad when they find that their own phony dough is shoved back on them. I go back to my hotel room and wait. My souped-up car is parked out back in the alley. Half an hour later, I spot Marco and another muscle man pulling up in front of the hotel. I pick up my suitcase and go out into the hall like I'm leaving. They spot me from the bottom of the stairs.
There he is!
They start up the stairs at me. I heave my suitcase at them.
Ah!
They go down in a heap. I run back into my room, down the fire escape into my car. The chase is on. So far, it's working out just right. I drive fast enough to keep out of range, but not fast enough to lose them. An hour later, I'm in Puerto Montego, the village where we think Perez is hiding. It's all of 2 blocks long. I gun through the town, then ditch my car at the far end behind one of the buildings. I circle back on foot and hide. Pretty soon, Marco and his buddy roar into sight and stop at a house on the outskirts of town. They run inside and come out again with 2 other guys. They all pile into the car and take off through the village, supposedly after me. I've located one of their headquarters. I ease up to the house. I can hear a voice from inside.
Here it is. Two of us better look around the village in case this Mitchell doubles back.
It's Perez talking, and it's also my cue. I jerk open the door.
Well, I've got him, Steve.
Brother, you sure have, Perez.
Nothing like a beer bottle to lull a guy to sleep.
When Marco pulled in here a couple of minutes ago and said he was chasing a deadbeat named Mitchell, I remembered we once pulled a trick like this in Casablanca, wasn't it?
Yeah, I hoped you'd remember. And when I heard you talking to your buddy here about the two of you, I knew the odds were in our favor if he was the only other one here. They've been holding you prisoner, Rick?
Not exactly, Steve. But they were watching me pretty closely, and I had a hunch they were suspicious of me and checking up.
Then you didn't send that note to us, by the way, Rojas, saying that you were in trouble here and needed help?
No.
Then Simonette and her boys must have sent it. It was a trap.
But it didn't quite work the way they figured it.
Oh, look, we've got to move fast. When they come back here and find you've flown the coop, they'll realize that they were right about you. What have you found out so far about them?
Simonette is a local ringleader of the Caribbean Legion, Steve. They train and outfit small groups of men, which they send into several South American countries to try to organize revolutions. Simonette has a list of the three men's cells which have been sent to each country. I know that. I saw it in her office at the Club Maracaibo.
Then come on. We've got to get back to Simonette fast and grab that list.
We can see the Club Maracaibo from this alley, Steve.
Yeah. Come on, we better... Hey, wait a minute. There goes Marca in the front door.
He didn't lose any time.
We're licked. He'll alert Simonette and she'll destroy the list.
I don't think so, Steve. I think they'll try and warn those three men's cells in each country first.
Oh.
Well, they've got a radio transmitter hidden somewhere, but I wasn't able to find out where.
Maybe it's right there inside the Club Maracaibo.
Well, I don't think so. I've spent a lot of time inside that dive. I think I would have spotted it.
Hey, look. Marca coming out the front door again.
With a briefcase. Maybe he's on his way to the transmitter.
And maybe not. You tell him I'll stick around here just in case they're trying to pull a hidden ball play on us. Perez takes off after Marca, and I ease around to the back of the joint and wait in the shadows. Sure enough, a minute later, Simonette comes out the back door carrying an envelope. She crosses to the alley and disappears into a warehouse. I follow her. Inside, I spot her starting up a flight of stairs. I catch up to her fast.
What? Steve!
I'll take that list.
You let go of me? Let's go!
All right,
Mitchell.
Well, hello, Marker. I guess you just took a little trip around the block, huh?
That's a good guess. I'll hand over that list.
He keeps coming at me up the stairs. Suddenly, I grab the rail and kick at his wrist. The gun goes flying. I lunge at him. We roll down to the floor. His head connects with the cement. I whirl around. But Simonette's already got the gun and it's pointed right at my belt buckle.
Steve, you okay?
Yeah, sure am, Perez. I wouldn't have been if you hadn't shot that gun out of her hand when you did. Oh, no, Simonette, you're not leaving.
Let go!
With that list we've got, the only place you and your outfit are going is out of business for keeps.
Our star, Brian Donlevy, will return in just a moment. Variety is the spice of life, they say, and variety is what we at NBC attempt to give you each Thursday evening. Each Thursday on most NBC stations, you'll hear such entertaining programs as The Roy Rogers Show, Father Knows Best, Truth or Consequences, The Judy Canova Show, and Eddie Cantor's Show Business Show. Roy Rogers brings Western song and adventure from the Double R Bar Ranch in Paradise Valley. Later, it's time for Father Knows Best with Robert Young in the title role. Perhaps you'll agree that the thing about which Father knows best is trouble. But trouble or not, there's always fun-filled listening when it's time for Robert Young to star on this station. Ralph Edwards brings you Truth or Consequences, and the action really begins when a contestant misses a question and has to pay the consequences. Judy Canova adds to the mirth and merriment with hilarious comedy and some songs in her own delightful style. And then Eddie Cantor brings you his show business show, during which he reminisces about his years in the entertainment world. So every Thursday, listen to all these fine shows on most NBC stations.
Next week, Paris. I bodyguard a quiz kid.
And that will be Steve Mitchell's dangerous assignment next week. Featured in tonight's cast were Paul Frees, Paul Duboff, Betty Lou Gerson, Ben Wright, and Don Diamond. This is John Storm speaking. Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell with Herb Butterfield as the commissioner, is written by Bob Reif and Adrian Jandot and is directed by Bill Karn. Be with us again next week at this time when Brian Donlevy, starring in the role of Steve Mitchell, will embark on another transcribed Dangerous Assignment. Fridays, listen to Dinah Shore on NBC.
Welcome back. Well, that's actually a pretty common name these days. I found myself wondering whether we had a listener named Rick Perez and how he would feel seeing that come up in his feed. But beyond that, you have to appreciate Steve's outside-the-box thinking on this one in terms of getting the bad guys to chase him to the man he's supposed to rescue. Now, it's worth noting that the Caribbean Legion was a real organization, or had been. It was a Latin American revolutionary organization in the late 40s, along the lines of what was described in the episode. It overthrew the government in Costa Rica, but was disbanded after a failed invasion of the Dominican Republic in 1949. So a defunct organization makes an odd choice for a villain of the week. You know, I could see making someone up or even using a current organization, but using one that was no longer around, that's a choice I don't quite understand. Also, I checked, and it doesn't look like the Deacon was in the existing Australian episode we played from 1952. It doesn't mean much, as there are so many lost episodes of the series. Plus, there are always assignments we don't hear, but having an old enemy show up where you least expect him makes for a nice complication. Well, now we turn to listener comments and feedback. And we have a comment from Facebook. Van writes, regarding the episode Stolen Information Group, I enjoy this series and the way it is narrated, but seriously, he must be the worst government agent around. In this episode, he just, without question, takes that woman's word at face value that he should go with her instead of to his hotel. Sure, it helps with a plot point, but quite hard to believe he survives when being so gullible. Well, thanks so much, Van. I appreciate the comment. Dangerous Assignment is interesting just because it is so early in the broader presentation of spying in media that it operates on a much looser level. And of course, we have decades of everything that's come since, particularly the James Bond franchises. But that said, Dave can be gullible as well as a bit pig-headed and has amazing luck. Today, we would call it plot armor, and Steve has a lot of protection from things that really should get him killed for making mistakes. And then over on YouTube, Maureen writes regarding the episode Henrik Schwandorf, lucky for Steve, all those Germans spoke English. Well, I would say that it was lucky, but it's not one of the bigger gaps you can identify. Because it was post-war Germany, a lot of folks would speak English and it would, you know, definitely be a skill to have. Although I think the farmer might have been a bit of a stretch. All right, well, I also do want to say that we do have an email from Carissa, but I'll touch on that tomorrow since she addresses Mr. Chameleon. And so we'll just hold off on that one till tomorrow. Well, now it's time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. And I want to go ahead and thank Doug. Doug has been one of our Patreon supporters since June 2015, currently supporting the podcast at the rookie level of $2 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Doug. And that will do it for today. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us using your favorite podcast software. And if you're enjoying the podcast on YouTube, be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and mark the notification bell. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Dangerous Assignment, but join us back here tomorrow for Mr. Chameleon, where...
Off immediately. I'm surprised neither of you noticed the police car.
My wife was getting dinner. I happened to come in the back way.
The girl was killed about 6 o'clock. She was stabbed several times in the heart.
Oh.
Here she is. Mr. Cook? Mrs. Cook? You know this girl?
Oh, no. No, Mr. Chameleon. I never saw her in my life.
Mrs. Cook, I want the truth. This is murder.
My wife is telling you the truth. I never saw this girl either. Never.
Well, as you can see, she's young. In a flashy way, rather attractive. Somehow, that always makes murder seem more horrible.
Well, Mr. Chameleon, you might be wasting your sympathy on this girl.
I might. But she was killed, and it happens to be my job to find the killer. All right, Mr. and Mrs. Cook, you may go back to your house now. I'll be in touch with you later.
But why? We told you we didn't know her.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.